Stuart Sandyman is the breath coach. He hosts his own breath pod and is author of Breathe In, Breathe Out. He took a breath class with his mum for Mother's Day and it changed his life. He now works with artists, athletes and business leaders to boost mental and physical well-being.
If somebody told me just to breathe, I probably would have stuck my fingers up and said, speak some sense.
Stuart, are people less sick if they breathe better?
Was that okay? Am I losing my mind?
It's like a form of therapy then, isn't it?
Exactly that. It's therapy without words. We can really fine-tune ourselves before the day starts. And hopefully we're doing it right, but majority of people are not doing it right.
Stuart, I want to start by asking you, what happened to you in that breath class that you took with your mum that changed your life?
Have you dived straight in with this question?
Yeah, straight in.
Yeah, it took me by surprise. I never thought about breathing more than just sort of chilling out. And I was shown a way of breathing that was quite dynamic and quite bizarre. It was mouth breathing for a start, which is not what we talk about, nose and mouth. And with intermittent movement and sound, making sound yourself. And what happened to me in that session was, first of all, I felt a lot of physical changes in my body, a lot of energy moving, a lot of tingling, a lot of buzzing that felt quite bizarre, but quite nice. And then I could just start to feel emotion build and build and build and build. And it was emotion. When I went to that class, I recently lost my girlfriend to cancer. So I was going through a grieving process, and in that session, it was building and building and building. I had this huge emotional outburst over the session. We were breathing for about an hour, and I was also felt like I was not really there, like I'd left my body, but I felt that my girlfriend who passed away was there with me. So it was a very powerful, cathartic experience that left me with more questions than answers. And I think when we have an experience like that, what just happened? What was that? Was that normal? Was that okay? Am I losing my mind? Had someone spiked my drink before going in? There was all these questions I had when I finished that session. I felt really good, but I felt like any emotional release. I felt just very strange and wasn't quite sure. So I went into more. Thought, well, let's figure this out. Is this a one-off? And the more I practiced, the more I uncovered, and the more I wanted to learn more about breathing and breath and how we can use our breath to transcend our everyday living for deep healing and performance.
And as you practice more, what did you find happened to you from a health perspective? I mean, were there actual physical and mental changes that you could see a pattern evolving?
A huge, huge pattern evolving. I mean, as I said, I was going through grief at the time. Before doing the sessions, I was in a pretty heavy, dark place in my mind. I didn't want to speak to anybody. That was the first thing. I'd already said, what's anyone else going to do? Why would I want to speak to somebody? So for me, talking therapy or anything like that was out of the picture. And I think the more I uncovered, the whole part of me that I was releasing was the belief around strength. Big boys don't cry, and being vulnerable as a guy. So what happened afterwards, and the more I practiced, there's tangible physical differences. I was doing a lot of CrossFit at the time. I'm not one of the biggest or burliest of guys, and I was flying up the leaderboard. So I noticed that quite quickly, that I'm really flying up the leaderboard here. And what is the difference? I'm doing a daily breathwork practice. I wasn't feeling as tired in between rounds of high-intensity training. And so that was the physical difference. It was very tangible and mappable on my scoreboard at CrossFit. The other differences for me was just the voice in my head started to be a bit more upbeat, a bit kinder. I know that's a bit abstract.
Why do you think that started to happen? Is it because you were in a different mindset, because you felt that change was happening and in a positive way?
Yes, I mean, that would be part of it. Our brains are wired negatively, and if we have experiences in our life that from childhood or even griefs and things that happen through our life, our brain and thought patterns will be a certain way, and we repeat our thoughts. 95% of thoughts are repeated. So we're repeating our same thoughts over and over again. And for me, I started to feel better and I started to think differently. But what the breath practice was allowing me to do was unravel, peel off the onion layers of the me that I was identifying as. Who was I at that point in time was a construct of what had happened before. Not just going through grief, but everything before that, everything that I had created in my reality as me, Stuart, I was unpicking that and unpicking maybe the heavier aspects of it, releasing it through the breath practice. So letting go of some of the doubt, the shame, the guilt, the anger, the frustration, feeling okay with some of these other skills that I thought were massive no-nos, like being vulnerable, being able to talk and speak. And as a result, the voice in my head was just much, much kinder to me.
It's like a form of therapy then, isn't it?
It is exactly that. Exactly that. It's therapy without words. And the nice thing about the whole process was it opened me up enough to then want to talk, because therapy is so important and so helpful and an amazing tool. But it has its limitations. It has its limitations because words to describe feelings or how our inner world through words is a little bit limiting. So to create an example of that, if I jumped in a swimming pool and you'd never been in, you said, how does it feel? For me to say the feelings of jumping in the swimming pool to you, you never really experience it or understand it through words. If I said, yeah, it was wet on my skin, it felt cold, it felt this. So words are an amazing way to explain and communicate. But when it comes to some of these deeper aspects, I feel like we get stuck in a box with words. And how do we explain that feeling that's just like a big ball of wool? So the nice thing about breath is our breath, every feeling that we have, every emotion that we have has a pattern of breathing. So once we uncover and start using our breath, the more we practice breathing and breath work, we can start to release some of these heavier emotions and get better at feeling and better at understanding our feelings and better at releasing our past emotional charge that isn't optimal for our day-to-day living. And yes, a good therapist will take you there. But what I found in my experience and the hundreds of people that I've worked with and thousands of people I've worked with is our breath can take you there quite quickly, because all of our experiences are mapped in our breathing.
Do you think you'd have ever been so sort of open to what it can do for you if it hadn't have been that you came to it at a time where you were desperately looking for a way through? Like you say, you were in a very, very dark place because you were grieving for your beautiful girlfriend. So is there something in that you sort of, you know, it came to you at exactly the right time when you needed it most, and you found real solace in that?
Yeah, the funny thing was I wasn't looking for anything. I didn't want help. I was in a rut and I didn't want to speak to anybody, and I'd be fine, leave me alone. I'd slam some doors and punch some walls or curl up in my bed and not get out. Now, all that happened was my mum's really into yoga and something popped up for Mother's Day saying breathing workshop. And that is as far as I thought, my mum will love that. I didn't think about it. I didn't look into it. I thought it would be a bit more mindful, chilling, sitting there breathing. But yeah, it unlocked this huge, well, changed my life, because now I share this with other people and help people reach their potential through breathing. But yes, I didn't really go out looking for it, but you're exactly right. If somebody told me just to breathe, I probably would have stuck my fingers up and said, speak some sense. And when I cast my mind back to my own life, there are so many touch points that I thought, why was it? I left school to do sport, judo. I had high hopes of being Olympic champion, and I'd done judo all my life, and really wanted to excel in that sport. But nobody ever taught me how to breathe. So on a junior mat at 4 years old, right through to 18, black belt by 16, no one ever said, this is how you breathe while you're exhausted during training sessions. After injury, I ended up going to uni and working in finance. And I was stressed out, and like anybody is in a busy finance job, and nobody ever taught me to breathe. And when I left that and started touring as a DJ, a bit of a jump there, but I moved into a very creative space. No one ever taught me to breathe. So I start to look back and think, well, no one actually teaches anyone to breathe. And most people are just breathing because of their environment or what they've learned around them. And hopefully we're doing it right, but majority of people are not doing it right. And if breathing is what keeps us alive, but it also is linked to how we think, how we feel, our energy levels, our recovery states, our sleep, all these different touch points where people look at for better health and well-being, the first thing we need to look at is our breath. And once we get the breathing right, then everything else can fall into place.
Do you think learning how to breathe properly, I'm going to call it properly, has allowed you, or has allowed the grieving process to be not easier to digest, but has it helped you through that process? Because there'll be people out there who will find themselves in exactly like you were in that situation, and are perhaps looking for something, are looking to answers for how to deal with those sorts of things, and perhaps don't want to speak to people. Do you think it's been a real game changer for you in terms of how you've been able to grieve and letting go to some
100%.
Degree?
100%. Hugely. I don't think I would have got there by speaking personally, and maybe over time. What happens when we go through an experience, let's say grief, and grief can be all sorts of things. You can grieve moving house, or you can grieve moving country, or you can grieve losing somebody as well. So there's loads of different challenges that we have. And when we have an experience like grief or a negative emotion, our breathing contracts, and it contracts, and we squeeze it in tight as our safety mechanism. So our breathing is contracted and we're holding on. So what we do is start opening up the physical constriction in the breathing pattern. And what that physical constriction, yes, it can be physical things, but the majority of times, the reason it's contracted is because of emotional experience, because our brain and body is trying to keep us safe. So it's a fear response and our safety response. So our breathing changes depending on what's happening in our life. We also hold our breath and have these holding patterns to stop ourselves from feeling emotion. Now, what triggers the stop of feeling emotion is how we're programmed, which, coming back to myself as an example, big boys don't cry. 4 years old on a judo mat, teddy bear called Tough Ted, grew up in Scotland. You get the idea, you start to create this person that you believe you are. So then when you have an experience, you don't allow your breath to flow in the natural way, which would be tears. You're breathing with jugger and you'd have that emotional integration. Instead, I'd contract it because my brain says, no, this is what we do in this experience. We hold on. We hold on because we don't show emotion. So in essence, what you're trying to do is sweep the emotion under the carpet. I just hope, or put it in the cupboard and hope it's not going to open. But over time, that cupboard's going to get more and more filled with these different contractions and emotional experiences that it will start to impact our physical and mental health.
And I'm presuming you now work with all types of people, whether it be athletes or CEOs, people running, you know, big businesses. I mean, how much of a game changer can good breathing practices be for people who are in performance lifestyles, performance careers?
Yeah, it's a great question, because what I've been talking about so far is one way of using the breath, using our breathing for release. And if anything, it's a deeper context. But we have two sides of breathwork. Breathwork is using our breath in many different ways, taking control of our breath to get a certain result. So you can take control of your breath or do a deeper practice to release the held tension in your body and your breathing cycle, to release whatever's gone before. Maybe that's the grief, maybe that's the belief patterns you need to rewire. But then also we can use our breath because we can consciously control our breath throughout the day. We can use our breath as a tool, a functional tool, to change the way we feel. And if we change the way we feel, we change the way we think. So there's one hand using our breath as a tool for release to optimize our inner workings, but then also throughout the day, having a toolkit of breath techniques so that we can take charge, we can hack into our own system and change the way we're feeling and operating and performing in any moment. So that might be using your breath to create a lot more energy because you're feeling a bit exhausted instead of reaching for a cup of coffee. That might be using your breath to calm yourself down because you're feeling a bit anxious or overwhelmed, or maybe you're nervous before a big pitch or meeting. Or that might be a practice that gets you into an optimal state of flow throughout your day so that you are able to just breeze through your day and at a optimal level. So there's different ways of using our breath. You mentioned athletes, and then that's a whole separate arm of breath work and breathing. So we've got this kind of emotional release. We have functional breathing to take control of our mind throughout our day and optimize our state. And then we do have this specific way of using our breath, which I do with a lot of athletes, around how do we go that extra mile or round? How can we increase our aerobic capacity, which is to do with breathing? How can we increase our VO2 max, which again is to do with delivery of oxygen to our cells? So it was quite specific around working with the body and the breathing flows and rhythms to maximize our output from each breath so that we can, in essence, be more economic with every single breath so we can get more power from each breath and get less tired during exercise. So there's three separate areas, if you like, or applications. And then within those, there's lots of applications. So when we think of just breathing, it's not as simple as, oh, I've done some breath work. It's, well, what is that style of breath work? Because there's some breath work that might not be the right breath work to do at a point in time.
Well, that makes complete sense. That makes complete sense. I mean, of course, it feels like it should be attributed to what the need is at that particular time rather than just breath work for breath work's sake. Can we try something? I know you're part of this sort of 5 a.m. club, which I am too, so we have that in common. Although the reason I'm part of that 5 a.m. club is because of two young children. It's nothing necessarily to do with getting everything done before 7. But if we think about that as part of a sort of a morning routine piece and prioritizing that, if I was to say, right, okay, I'm part of the 5 a.m. club and I want to get a load of stuff done before 7 because then I start the day optimum place that I want to be and the rest of the day I'll have to just take care of itself. What do we do for our breath work at sort of between those hours of sort of 5 to 7 in the morning when we obviously want to boost our energy and start the day taking it all on guns blazing? What's the best method to employ there in terms of breath work? And can we do it? Can I try it now?
Yeah. Well, again, it comes down to what we're working on, because like going to the gym, you might say, oh, right now I'm working on my cardio and I'm going to do a cardio workout for my gym session. Or you might say, well, I'm actually going to really work on my legs and I'm going to do lots more legs exercise. So it really depends on what we're looking to achieve. So if it's, I'm waking up feeling anxious because I've got a lot going on at work, then it might be using our breath in a way that really calms the nervous system and moves us into this relaxed state of mind, a state of being, so that we can go forward in our day feeling in control and relaxed. It might be something deeper that we're working on because we're wanting to shift a bit of energy, or we're working to release something in our body. It might be something more dynamic. So it really comes down to how we want to feel. But if we're looking at, generally speaking, every in-breath you take switches you on. Heart rate goes up, blood pressure goes up. Every out-breath you take switches you off. Heart rate goes down, blood pressure goes down. So we have this interplay of our breathing switching on as we breathe in, sympathetic increases, breathing out, parasympathetic increases. So we can start to play with the ratios of in-breaths and out-breaths to get a good result. Now, something super simple.
Okay, go.
And it's great Yeah, for something like performance, or you're wanting to activate the best or optimal state, sort of physiologically and psychologically, is something like box breathing. Really simple. I come back to it all the time. Box breathing is breathing in through your nose for a count of four. Hold for four. Out for four. And hold for four. Okay. So what I noticed...
And nothing through my mouth. Nothing through my mouth, just nose.
No, this practice, we do this a couple of rounds, but why I've stopped is just because I noticed how you were breathing. Now, everybody
badly.
Breathes... No, hopefully we can switch that. But our breathing is a result of what's happening in our environment. So how you breathe, everyone has their own breathing archetype because of what's happening in their environment, because of habitual patterns of breathing as well. And then also what's happening in our inner environment, because our breathing is linked to energy levels. So if we started exercising, we're going to need more energy, so we're going to breathe a bit more and our heart rate's going to go up. So that's very conscious. But if a tiger came in your room right now, you'd see the threat, you'd hear the roar, and your breathing would change to get enough energy to leg it or fight off the tiger, a fight or flight response. So how we're breathing is either triggering one of those responses. Now, if you, when you take a breath in on that box breath and your chest is moving before your lower belly, which it was for you on the video there, we want to be using our diaphragm to breathe. So our diaphragm is a primary breathing muscle, and our diaphragm also tells our mind and body that, oh, we're safe, we're in a calm state of mind. If we're breathing in our chest, it's more conducive, it's shorter, it's shallower, it's more conducive to a stressed state of mind or busy state of mind.
So what are you saying? What are you saying, Stuart?
Well, there's reasons we can be in that chest breathing archetype, chest breather archetype. It can be posture, it can be tight clothing around our waist. It can be a period of stress that, or you said, two kids in the morning, being on, the breathing has been very on because the mind said, oh, I need to be on right now. I need to be motivated and ready for everything. So we're short, shallow breathing to give us enough energy for that moment. Now, what happens in the short, shallow breathing is carbon dioxide starts to drop because we're breathing faster. Now, if carbon dioxide starts to drop, the pH changes in our body because carbon dioxide in water and blood becomes acidic. So if we're breathing too fast, carbon dioxide drops. So our breathing becomes very alkaline. And our body doesn't like straying away from 7.35 to 7.45 in terms of pH. So when our pH changes and becomes very alkaline over a period of time because of stressful breathing, then the body says, right, we're out of balance here. And it's prioritizing pH, so it holds on to acidity. So instead of peeing out when you go to the toilet, we actually hold on to acidity. So our organs become more acidic, and our pH balances in our body. But it balances at this new rate of breathing. So it balances at the new rate of breathing, which might be your chest breath. So all of a sudden, our natural default, because of our stressful period or a busy period, our natural default then becomes a chest breath. So when we try to switch it to something like the diaphragmatic breath or even slowing our breath down, we start to feel like we're not getting enough air. Air hunger kicks in. And this kicks in because the opposite is happening. When we slow our breath down, when we take a diaphragmatic breath, we're slowing our breath down, so carbon dioxide increases a little bit, which becomes acidic, and the brain says, take a breath. Does that all make sense? Quite a lot of information there.
Yeah, it makes... No, it's a lot of information to process, but in practical terms, what you're really saying is that I've clearly got a stressful thing going on, and I'm shallow breathing. Is that correct?
In a nutshell, you've got a chest-dominant breathing pattern, which is shorter and shallower, that is in essence sending an alarm bell to your brain.
Okay. So how do I overturn it?
What we're going to do now is go back to that box breathing.
Yeah.
I want you to place both hands on your belly so you can feel it rise and fall.
Yeah.
And we're going to breathe in to the hands of the belly through your nose.
Yeah.
Okay. For a count of four. So feel your belly rise. See your shoulders are still rising up. So just relax your shoulders. Let go. So relax your shoulders. We're breathing in. Try and breathe into your hips. See if you can breathe into your hips. Hold to the top. And then out through your nose. And then hold. And in. And hold.
I'm laughing because you're laughing at me. So for anyone who's listening and not watching this and can't completely follow, it's a maintaining concentration piece for me, which seems to be an issue. But fundamentally, it's because I can see Stuart's reaction to what I'm doing, and he doesn't look like he likes it very much.
I just get excited by it because we can switch it and change it, but I need to kind of jump into the screen.
I know.
Right,
we'll
now
do it another time. We'll do it another time because I feel like I need much more attention in this area. It feels like I need much more attention in this area. But just going back to that morning routine piece, it is. And going back to that morning routine bit, you have spoken about being part of that 5 a.m. club, which I've said to you, I'm definitely part of for all the wrong reasons. But how important is setting that morning ritual, setting that morning routine in terms of breath work? You hear a lot of people talk about that's the time of the day when they best meditate or they best take a moment for themselves. And that can't just be a coincidence. That has to be because it is also performance related and performance enhancing.
Yeah, it is. It's the time of the morning before we start our day, before we are reactive to the world around us. Everything around us is competing for our attention. As soon as you pick up that device, as soon as the alarm goes off with your phone and it's in your hand, then everything's competing for your attention. Now, if you scroll straight onto your emails or onto your social media or anything like that, you're at the mercy of whatever's coming towards you. So taking that time for yourself is so, so key to make sure that you feel grounded and aligned and ready, and also prime your mind is primed, because often we can just start our day, be reactive to what's going on, and all of a sudden our attention's gone somewhere else. But our actual main goal, like if we're thinking about what is my main goal today, is that happening when we're now distracted in all these little things, whether it's it can be so many different things. So taking that time in the morning when our brain is also, when we've just woken up, we're in that alpha state as well. So our brain waves are in the alpha state. And in that moment, we can start to reprogram our subconscious mind. So alongside breath, you can start to use words or affirmations or even prayer, some people use as a performance tool, so that we can really fine-tune ourselves before the day starts. So no matter what happens in our day, you already feel solid and grounded, and anything can bounce off you. And that's what I feel I get with a morning routine. And I have various morning routines. One where it's like, I've got to just get up and get out the door. But it still has those components, a bit of movement, breath work, gratitude, and some sort of stillness as well. And just having that throughout your morning, it's just going to set you up for a win for the rest of the day. And especially if you're using the breath with intention around, well, what is the type of breath work that I'm using today? What is the bigger picture that I'm wanting? Am I wanting to be in flow? Are we going to do box breathing? Is it something that you're wanting to really focus on? You can focus on that with your breath practice.
And I mean, one of the things I wanted to sort of touch on with you is that you obviously now are have a total knowledge of breath work. But if you're just sort of dipping your toe in to this world, and you can see clearly there are real advantages to doing that, how long does it take you to stop? Most of us just breathe and subconsciously it just happens and we don't really give it much thought. But if we are then now giving it much more thought, do you go through your day thinking about breathing all of the time, or have you got yourself to a point where you just know how to breathe properly given the situation and given the context or the time of the day or whatever that might be, and not give it that thought? Does it just become part of your subconscious? I mean, how does that sort of work itself out?
Yeah. Fortunately, I'm not thinking about my breathing all day long. I wouldn't get much done. But what it takes is a piece around, am I breathing? I often look at when I'm working with people, how am I breathing at rest? Okay. If I'm sat still at rest, there's no tiger chasing me. It might be tigers in my mind, which means that at rest, my breathing pattern's stressful. So first thing is, how am I breathing at rest? Am I breathing in and out through my nose? Am I using my diaphragm? If I'm not, then I need to retrain myself to breathe at rest in a calm, relaxed, safe breath. So you're telling your body and mind, I'm resting right now. There's no tiger in my room. Because if we're breathing stressfully at rest, then we're not going to sleep properly. We're not going to digest our food properly. We're going to feel tired. We're going to feel wired. So it's really important at rest. That's the first point. Am I breathing okay at rest? What's causing me not to breathe okay at rest? Is it a deeper reason? Is it just a habitual pattern? Is it a stress pattern that's caused me my breathing to change? Is it something deeper that I've been holding on to, like grief or something from childhood, that more therapeutic piece? So figuring out, I'm understanding, get my breathing to an optimal state at rest. Then we have, well, what am I doing throughout my day? How is my breathing then? Now that might be work, that might be studying, that might be whatever we're doing in our day. Ebbing and flowing and understanding. So even just taking time to say, right, I'm going to concentrate to figure out what my breathing, I'm going to be the fly in the wall with my breath. And once we start to notice, oh, I've noticed that I'm typing emails and I'm not breathing. So many people do that. Or I'm noticing that I haven't taken a breath this afternoon. I need to take a breath. So start to figure out, well, how am I breathing throughout my day? And how far away is it from the optimal breathing state at rest? Because at breathing state at rest, we get all the energy we need. We feel relaxed, we feel calm, we feel energized, focused, all these good things. And then it goes up a level from there. Well, during the day, then I've got, what am I breathing like when I'm speaking? We talked a little bit about this before coming on. Am I breathing in and out of my mouth the whole time when I'm speaking? So some people might be working in a sales role and on the phone all day, or they're speak, ah, big gasp of air through the mouth. That's triggering a stress response. It's seeing the tigers in the room, and then they carry on speaking. So again, throughout the day, can you learn to breathe in through your nose and speak out through your mouth? Like retraining that whole process. The next part is breathing in sleep. Bit trickier because we're asleep, but how am I breathing when I go to sleep at night? My breathing at rest is out. So it kind of goes in that way. My breathing and resting out is out, then you're going to bet that when I'm breathing and sleeping, it's going to be off as well. So making sure that you're breathing correctly when you sleep at night. And then the final thing is the athlete piece. How am I breathing when I go to the gym? How am I breathing when I'm running? How am I breathing when I'm lifting weights? How am I breathing whatever sport or activity you were doing where the energy levels need to be boosted? Am I breathing optimally for that given time?
Stuart, are people less sick if they breathe better?
100%. They're less stressed. Less stressed. There's so much. It's less stress on the body when we're breathing more effectively, when we slow our breath down as well. It's going to affect everything from our blood pressure, our energy levels, our sleep gets deeper. So we recover, we repair. It's a whole knock-on effect. And then there's obvious things like asthma or different ailments that have breathing related functions that when we learn to breathe properly, it's going to affect those as well.
I was picking up and reading excerpts of your book this morning, Breathe In, Breathe Out, which is brilliant because it is really easy to digest. As you say, you can kind of dip in and out of different sections. And then I stumbled across exercise 22, which is the question, are you addicted to stress? I thought, well, that's an interesting one, actually. And my husband and I talk about this a lot because he's a professional athlete. I'm not obviously a professional athlete, but I do lead a fairly hectic, manic lifestyle. So these are the questions you ask me, of me. Do you love a tight deadline? Do you leave things until the last minute? Do you have a difficult time doing nothing? Do you think about work whilst lying on the beach? Do you get FOMO? Do you check your phone whilst you're watching TV? Do you feel as though there's never enough time to get things done? Do you have a to-do list as long as your arm? Do you ever feel as though what you've achieved at work for the day isn't enough? And do you feel as though you're constantly running from one thing to the next? Terrifyingly, every single one of those I can answer with a yes. So there you go. It turns out I am addicted to stress.
And what's so interesting about that is your breathing pattern already tells me that. Because your breathing pattern
I can't hide it from you. That's the problem.
You can't. And that's the our breath doesn't lie. And I find that so fascinating because every breathing pattern is, for anybody, tells us how somebody's actually feeling. Or what their brain is perceiving in its current reality. So, for, and that might be, I mean, we do this naturally. If I came on this call and was going, you're like, oh, are you okay? Have you ran up the stairs? Or can I get you something? So we're already naturally doing that. But when I work with clients or individuals, I really start to go a little bit deeper. Well, why is their breath moving in that way or that way? Because if our breath is triggered by our thoughts, and it's also triggered by our experiences, both external around us and internal in our mind, then our breath becomes this map of how we're actually interacting in our world. So it's fascinating having seen you breathe first and then you saying, am I addicted to stress? Yes, to every single question, because your breathing is mapping that as well.
See, we've come full circle. I feel that I've learned a great deal today about myself, and you too have learned something about me as well. Stuart, thank you so much. It's been fascinating to speak to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.